Thank you so much. Good morning, church. What a joy to be here after 3 years, more than 3 years, actually. And praise God, we passed COVID, and you all are still alive. We're still doing better. Some of us had COVID, so we know how it tastes like, how it feels like, and what was the struggle, but I just praise God that we all are fine. Thank you so much, Dr. Luke, for introducing me, and he has been one of those few people in my life that I always closely watched and see, okay, how are things done, you know, how he manages. And since I've taken over at the hospital, it's not been a single day when I didn't think, how in the world did he do that for 29 or 30 years? So it's tough, but I know the prayers, I know God is with me, and thank you for your support and love over all these years for not only the hospital, but also for me and for the Children's Center, which, because of your prayerful support, is a reality now, and has boys from different backgrounds, and they're going over there. But before, let's dive into the Word of God today, and let's open our Bibles and open John 12, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. John 12, first 8 verses, and it's a very famous passage, and we're just going to learn something new today, and I just believe that every time, I remember meeting Don Darling a few years ago. Most of you might be knowing him, and he said, you know what, Ambrose, for the last 40 years, there's not been a single day that God has not shown me something new from the Word of God. And I'm looking at him like, okay, so 40 years and not a single day, and he was all excited. So so I believe that the Word of God, sometimes we just read it, but God has every time God has something new for us. So the Word of God says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So, I often think about what is the best depiction of love. Especially living in the modern world, we see a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of Instagram stuff, a lot of Facebook stuff, people devising new ways to impress the other person and showing love and showing the affiliation. But I was thinking that even in the Word of God, we see many examples of, you know, how the men of God showed their love to the Father. But over here, I just believe that this is the most beautiful depiction of love that we see in the Word. And we're going to talk about earnest love today, and how did Mary show her perfect love for Christ Jesus. There are different examples of showing respect and love for God in the Word, and also in the world around us. A lot of people have, you know, they have adorations, they bow down, they in respect, they show their feelings. And a lot of people around the world, they offer a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of stuff to show that they love God. But and we see in the Word that when about Zacchaeus in Luke 19:8 that he so much appreciated the salvation that has come to his house that, you know, he gave half of his belongings to people, and he said that from anybody I've taken it unrighteously, I would give 4 times of that. They're all different kinds of things, but today we see 4 aspects of what Mary's love was all about. First thing that we see is actually she loved Jesus with her complete wealth. She, whatever she had, she showed love. So in Julius Caesar's days, I want to give you a bit of a background in the history. The daily wage was increased to about 225 denarius per year, and that was without tax. And then the workers had to manage this to get bread and, you know, raise their families. But the workers had to really manage that. And later on, it was increased to 300 for the whole year, which meant that almost one denarius a day. And during the early Roman Empire, a common laborer or a regular soldier would get one denarius a day, and that would make about 300 denarius for the entire year. And one denarius was equal to about $20 in bread. So what we are talking about is basically this was about this nard, or the spike nard, or the perfume that she had. It was worth about $6,000 in today's money if you calculate that. And this undoubtedly was expensive. This was not cheap. And if you think and imagine about how Judas reacted, probably it's gonna be the reaction of most of us as well. Like, why is this wasted on this? You know, we have so many poor people around us, and we so much things around us. Sometimes in churches, especially in Pakistan, sometimes people spend some money on the church, and then like, wait a second, there are so many poor people living around. Why didn't they spend the money on that? So it was same going on over there. And it was really expensive. If I could have a picture up there, I can show you that nard plant. I can show you. It's the second or third slide, I think. If you could, the next one. The other one. Yeah. So this is the one. Now it's available. And in fact, interestingly, I checked on Amazon, and you can have the nard perfume available now for about 40, 50 ml bottles, and even then it's like it goes from $50 to about $70 to $80. And, you know, and I don't know if it's pure or not, but this is pure stuff. This was actually from the Himalayas, and in those days, just imagine, in those days getting this, and it was used for really, really important rituals and in worship, and it was an expensive property. And I believe this was the most expensive thing that she had. And in that time, and we know the quantity as well, there was almost about half a liter of this liquid that she had. Thinking about this, with all this expensive belonging that she had, you see, it would make totally worldly sense that a year's wage was definitely enough to feed so many around them. And that's what Judas was talking about. And he was totally fixed on the monetary value of that expensive perfume. He was not seeing through the eyes that Mary was seeing. He was not seeing Christ as the master. And he was the one person who later on betrayed Jesus because he was totally fixed on something else. I'm not saying that the wealth is bad. There are so many wealthy Christians around, and there are so many who have more than what they need. It's not that. But Jesus knew what this can be a problematic for. In Matthew 19:23, we say that the wealthy wise man comes to Jesus Christ, and he says, "What should I do to get salvation?" And Jesus knew what his real problem was. He might be the most righteous person around. He might be doing all the good things and might be respectful to his family and everything. But Jesus knew it. What was the main problem? And he says to him, "Okay, go, give away your wealth." And this man walks out because he knew that he could not do that. And that is why Jesus Christ really recognizes the problem, and he was doing everything that Jesus recognized, but the main thing was a real issue. And that's why in Matthew 19:21, he says, "Sell your possession." For him, his belonging was the real test. That is why the Word of God talks about that for the rich, getting into the kingdom of God is very difficult. Because leaving wealth behind, or something that you really love, and leaving that for Christ is not easy for many people. But here, for Mary's, the most expensive belonging that she had was a real value, or the love of Christ. Nothing was more important to her than the love of Christ. She showed her love to Christ with everything that she had. While Martha was serving, while Lazarus was sitting, she thought about something. What is the most expensive entity that she had? Probably that was the only thing that she had. And then she just pours out in Jesus' feet and just gives it. Shows her ultimate love for Jesus Christ. Second thing, she shows complete honor to Christ. Now, the part of the world where I come from, over there, in any respectable person when comes, we have different ways of showing respect. In the Asian culture, some people they bow down, some people they just You know, they hold their hands like this. Some people do something else. But here, she thought about what could be the best way to show that honor and the respect. And in our culture, in the Eastern cultures, the a woman's hair is the utmost sign of a woman's respect. And sometimes what happens is that some people, you know, in certain situations, when they're being persecuted and discriminated, they cut the women's hair to insult them and to discriminate them that, okay, this is now she is insulted publicly. And here she had her feet, she had Jesus' feet wiped off with her hair. So she showed the utmost respect and honor for the master. She doesn't bother about what the people are going to say. If you imagine in the Eastern culture aspect, it was not something very similar or simple that she did. In that culture, if a woman comes in and she throws her hair in a man's feet and starts wiping off that man's feet, this is not a simple thing. It's quite difficult, it's quite challenging, but she did that. And she does that very joyfully. And what she think, and that was her complete worship. That was the utmost respect that she wanted to show to her Lord and Savior. When we are joyful in the Lord, and when we are worshiping, sometimes something in us holds us back. That shyness, that feeling, oh, what are the people going to say? Or what would that person think? And if you compare that with how Mary did that, in that culture, how was those people be reacting about it? But Mary did not even think about it, and she just immediately comes, and she is thankful for what the Lord has done for her. Just some time ago, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and she was redeemed as well. And she was just so thankful that the brother was alive and sitting right next to the master, and that itself was a huge testimony. All her gestures were showing utmost respect. First of all, she showed her love to Christ Jesus through her complete wealth, and now she's showing her love with her complete honor and respect as well. First, she honored Jesus with the wealth, and now she's honoring Jesus with her body. That's what's really important. What are we doing today? Are we honoring Christ or Jesus through our bodies, or something is holding us back? If something's holding us back, there's a time to review that. The third thing, she gave him the complete priority. He was the most important entity for Mary. It's all about seeing the priority. Now, it was in the same room. Judas was seeing things differently. Jesus was not his priority. Money was his main priority. He was immediately into calculations and numbers, and you know, he was thinking about something in numbers. Whereas Jesus was thinking, and whereas Mary was seeing Jesus purely with the eyes of love. Mary considered that rather than thinking about money, touching his feet was more important. And especially in that culture, it's a big thing. There are so many examples in the world where people gave priority to Christ and people gave priority to God and received the blessings, but even in our lives we can feel it. We all know that if we give priority to Christ our Lord, that's how we feel, that's how we are blessed, and that's how God blesses us. But over here, what we see is that Mary's overwhelming joy of prioritizing Jesus was visible. Sometimes that joy is not visible. And here it was explicitly visible. It was quite obvious. People knew, people could see that her priority is not the shame, is not the feeling that what would people think about? What would people say? Or what are the people going to think about the expensive perfume that she's pouring? She knew that her priority was the love of Christ, the love of her master. And that's something which is really, really important. And the fourth thing is complete hospitality. In the Jewish culture, what they used to do was that if the guests would come to their houses, so they would not wear, you know, the boots and these formal shoes as we have today. They used to have slippers or sandals, and when they would come into the house, the feet would be dirty. And washing feet of the guests was a ritual, and it had multiple meanings, of course, cleanliness, and also a sign of respect as well. So it was obvious that in their house, when it was the feast was there, it must be the arrangement that the water must be there. But nobody appreciated, or nobody really expected that an expensive perfume would be used to wash Jesus' feet. Mary doesn't offer water, and that must have been readily available at home, but she offers the most expensive liquid that she had. And to do what? To wash the feet. And if you think about that, that is something which is really remarkable. This is the utmost completion of hospitality. The culture where I come from, it's interesting that if somebody comes to your house, so you won't let them go without eating or drinking something, so much to a level where you almost force them. No, you got to do this, And it is up to that level. I'm sure Dr. Luke and Sister Nancy can relate to it. So it's there. If somebody comes, you know, in the way you have coffee over here, we have chai. Not the chai latte that you guys have, but actual chai. and when people go to their houses, because it's just a culture of hospitality. You know, I mean, whenever I've come to States, the people that I've stayed with, they're just so hospitable to me. But in our culture, hospitality is done in a different manner. And we know that in Jewish culture was really hospitality oriented. They knew how to take care of guests. But this was the next level. There was one level of washing their feet, but then washing the feet with nard and with nard perfume was something at the next level. What are we doing today? Is Jesus, we all claim that Jesus is in our lives as well, and yes, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you are the most important personality in our lives. But sometimes practically showing that differs from verbally expressing that. Sometimes our words are said through our lips, but our actions don't speak it that way. We're not to be giving him a portion of us. We are to be giving the best of us. Sometimes we just give a portion of ours, our time and ourselves to Christ Jesus, whereas he deserves the best of us. And that is why Jesus says, knowing what Judas was talking about, is that the poor are going to be with you all the times. I'm not here the whole time. He wanted to emphasize about the importance of him in their lives. And it's the same today. Mary offered the best of her wealth or belongings, the best of respect, the best of priorities. And we know that if we read Luke 5, first 11 verses, we see that Peter, Simon, what he did. In verse 8, he falls at Jesus' feet and he says, please depart from me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be with you. And what Christ does, he doesn't say a word about his sin. He treats him well. And that's how I feel about his grace in my life as well. If we all look back and think about what we have done and the situations we have been through, how many times have we, probably not verbally, we have not denied Christ, but sometimes through our actions and through our deeds, we might have denied Jesus. But what Jesus does is that it's his grace and mercy in my life that makes me do or makes me make myself fully available for Christ. Not partially available, not a portion of me showing respect or showing love, but fully showing love to Christ. What is our stance today? Do we offer the best of us, or are we just giving the portion of us? Are we just praising him with our lips, or we are completely through our wealth and through our bodies praising him as well? Mary showed her love to Christ through her complete wealth, through her complete honor, through her complete hospitality. That's what we need to do today as well. If we're not doing it, let's review ourselves. And if we are doing it, be thankful for that. That, dear God, thank you that you've given me the courage to stand out despite all the disgrace and despite all the feelings of embarrassment and shame that people might be thinking about me. Still, you have given me the courage to stand up and praise you loudly and stand up for you and just go out and say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Sometimes verbally saying it does not really reflect the joy we have inside. And we gotta be having our words portray, the inner joy has to come out. Whenever I come to Blue Ridge, I really enjoy that worship because it shows the inner joy. It reflects the love that we have for Christ Jesus our Lord. Church is not supposed to be a fancy building. Church is supposed to be joyfully worshiping Christ Jesus our Lord. So today, let's bow down our heads and let's think about it some for a minute or so in silence. Let's review ourselves. Let's see where we stand today. Am I glorifying God? Am I showing my love for Christ in the most complete manner, or just partial? If it's partial, let's readjust. God always gives us the new opportunities to think and review our lives and think about where we stand. Father God, thank you for your love and grace. And thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior and giving us the eternal life that we did not deserve, but it was purely because of your grace and mercy. Father God, we as church have thought about it, and we accept and we feel that we have been weak. There have been times when we really did not glorify your name. There have been times when we walked away. There have been times when we had struggled. God, we also accept that there have been times when our weaknesses were all over us. Those weaknesses were manifested through us rather than the joy we have in you. God, thank you for this message again today that you've shown to us that you deserve the best of us. You deserve the complete us. You don't deserve a portion of us, God. Thank you for your love and support for all of us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation that is through you. God, thank you for the love and grace that we get a chance to enjoy every single day. Thank you, God, for the blessing of church and the brethren and sisters and brothers who can pray for each other. Thank you, God, for the powerful strength of prayers. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask.